Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, our coming King, Jesus Christ. There is a comedian in the celebrity scene these days who got his big break in Hollywood when he portrayed being the pathological liar in the show Saturday Night Live. And his most famous saying was, "Yeah, that's the ticket." Since that time, he has made many spot appearances on TV shows and even in movies. Perhaps many of you know of him. His name is John Lovitz. As we begin the church year this first week of Advent, the writer of Hebrews gives us words that sound like, "Yeah, that's the ticket." In fact, he states in no uncertain terms one plain ultimate truth for all ears to hear. It is this: our only way of access, our only ticket to God, is Jesus Christ. The eternal King, who robed himself in human flesh and came as the babe of Bethlehem, dwelt among us and died for us. He is our only way to God. And this same King who promises to come again on the last day is also our great high priest, who intercedes for us and comes to open heaven for us. That is exactly why the writer of Hebrews states here, "Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts." This drawing near is an invitation to constantly approach God confidently, with boldness in heart and mind. The first hearers of these words were losing confidence in the gospel, losing faith in Christ alone. They were considering reverting to the old ways of Judaism, but they failed to recognize that the whole faith rested with Christ alone. The old ways of Judaism were now dead ways, without access, without a ticket to God. Their hearts were deceived, as our hearts are deceived. Every day, due to our sinful flesh, our hearts tend to revert to our old dead ways. Although we cast all of our cares upon the Lord, we worry, we fret, we're anxious about everything, we are pretentious, thinking highly of ourselves, and yet at the same time so envious of others, recognizing what others have, but we don't. As Jesus says in St. Matthew's Gospel, "Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander." This defines the real content of our hearts. It may not be apparent to others, especially here at the seminary, but it is always evident to God. God always looks at the heart, as the writer of Hebrews states earlier in chapter 4. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing soul and spirit. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When sin wrecks our hearts, confidence is lost, and there is little or no desire to draw near to God. When we look to ourselves, there is nothing in us worthy to view. And loss of confidence is perhaps one of the slickest tricks of the devil and our flesh. And if you have not discovered this already, you soon will. The last place the enemy, the devil, wants you to be is at a seminary, where you are learning the Word of God and how to bring that to God's people in its truth and purity. The last word the enemy wants us as pastors to bring to people is the gospel. A clear way of hope, a ticket to freedom and life. Therefore, the devil will assault you and assault your conscience anytime you prepare to write a sermon, deliver a sermon, or teach your people. Yet in spite of our sinful hearts, and in spite of the devil's attacks, being afflicted by our subjective emotions and feelings, despite all of that, here comes a beautiful objective word of comfort and promise. Though our hearts and flesh are sinful, they are also sprinkled by the blood of Christ. Simul justus et peccator. Though you are a sinner in flesh and heart, you are also a blood-bought saint, a child of God. Being sprinkled by the blood of Christ, you will not only enter heaven someday, but you are invited to come now, confidently and boldly to God. Since our hearts are sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and our bodies are washed with pure water, we can approach God boldly. All this kind of language reminds us of the Old Testament. When the priests served God before the temple and the Holy of Holies, they bathed their bodies with water and wore blood-sprinkled robes. And only the high priest, once a year on the Day of Atonement, actually passed through the veil and entered the Holy of Holies. Yet he too only entered behind the curtain by means of blood. That was the ticket. Yet in contrast to this old way, where sacrifices were made day after day and the blood of animals were offered up, our great high priest offers up himself and sheds his own blood once and for all on the cross. This gives us daily access, a daily ticket to God. Blood theology spills over this entire epistle to show us our access to God. The one sacrifice of Christ far exceeds the huge number of sacrifices that preceded it. In fact, Christ's newly slain way is one which retains its freshness and never grows old. That's why Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except by me." His blood has opened access to heaven, and it will never be closed as long as the blood is sprinkled. How is that blood sprinkled now? By word and spirit. By the word and sacraments. Yesterday, not only were our hearts sprinkled by the word heard in our ears, but they were sprinkled when our Advent King came to us in his own body and blood at this altar. In baptism as well, we are washed and sprinkled. In fact, it is the baptismal context that overshadows and predominates this text. The washed bodies is clearly baptismal language. The pure water references water and the Word. When our bodies were washed in holy baptism, Luther states that Christ assumed our sin into His flesh. Christ's flesh here is compared to the veil entrance to the Holy of Holies. That is precisely why Pastor Buscher said yesterday that true disciples not only worship and honor the divinity of Christ, but His humanity as well. Because it is precisely through Christ's flesh and blood that access is granted. And just as the high priest pushed aside the veil in order to enter the Holy of Holies, so our great high priest lays aside the veil of his flesh and enters heaven for us. That is our ticket. In fact, once the veil or curtain in the temple was ripped from top to bottom after Jesus gave up his spirit, our means to enter heaven was inaugurated by Christ's blood-stained flesh. The flesh of Christ, then, is the place where the heavenly and the earthly meet. And the body of Jesus hangs for us like a veil before the heavenly sanctuary and is the only way to entry. That's why St. Paul declares, "We preach Christ crucified." That's why Tertullian states, "The flesh is the hinge of salvation." And that's also why we as Lutherans still value a crucifix. These references, then, to sprinkled hearts and washed bodies all point again to the cross and reveal the wide application of the gospel. They denote total forgiveness, applying not only externally to the body, but inwardly to the depth of the heart as well. Our hearts rest, and our consciences are reassured when His Word is connected to such rich sacramental acts involving water, bread, and wine. It is similar to St. John, who states in 1 John 5, "For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood." There are many lifeless ways, but only one living way. Rejoice, dear friends, because the new and living way to heaven has come to us in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Yeah, that's the ticket. Though we suffer now, and though we despair and lose confidence due to sin, God promises in Christ to continue to come to us in both word and sacrament. Therefore, we can confess with the psalmist today, King David, "Lift up your heads, you mighty gates, that the King of glory may come in. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." Your hands are clean, your bodies washed. Your hearts are pure, your hearts are sprinkled. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.